Thank you for visiting Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio. You probably came to our podcast site to catch one of our interviews, or you might be here because you know something isn't right with that story they're telling you, that the economy is about to be rescued. Everything will start growing again. Corporations are here to help you. Global trade is good for us. Toxic sludge is good for fish. And oh yes, war is peace. On Shift Shapers, we interview today's thinkers and authors about economic meltdowns, shady military and surveillance programs, climate shock, and fuel shock, also known as peak oil. They give us a true reading of what is in front of us and some clues about how to survive and go forward in an uncertain future. While you're here, browse through our menu of interviews. You'll find Michael C. Rupert, author of Reinventing Collapse, Richard Heinberg, author of The End of Growth, James Howard Kunstler, author of The Long Emergency, Derek Jensen, author of Endgame, Jacques Fresco and Roxanne Meadows of The Venus Project, Guy McPherson, author of Walking Away from Empire, Alex Smith, Radio EcoShock, Mike Sozabee, filmmaker of Somewhere in New Mexico Before the End of Time, Carolyn Baker, author of Sacred Demise, Kathy McMahon, Peak Oil Shrink, Medea Benjamin, Code Pink, Pam Larry of Right to Know and Label GMOs. Also, numerous people involved in the transition, 350.org, alternative currencies, workers' cooperatives, and the Occupy movements. You will even find bilingual postings in Spanish and English. Welcome to Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio. Enjoy your podcast. This message is for anyone who thinks that genetically modified seed companies are all about feeding the world. Marcos Castillo Florencio says they're all about controlling the world food supply and overthrowing any government that gets in the way. He lives in Paraguay and just saw it happen. Join us Wednesday for a bilingual edition of Shift Shapers and Formadores de Cambio, where co-hosts Daniel Kerbein and Ricardo Quiroga interview Marco Castillo Florencio, a land use specialist and sociologist based in Asunción, Paraguay, about the ouster of progressive President Fernando Lugo in taking over Paraguay's elected legitimate government.
The direct link is commercial interest. They wanted to bring the new GMO crop in the land. The Fernando Lugo government was reluctant, and this sparked the impeachment process. It turned out to be an illegal process.
Join us on Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m., for another bilingual Shift Shapers, Pole Reversal Radio, and Formadores de Cambio. First hour, 4 to 5 p.m. in English. Second hour, 5 to 6 p.m. in Spanish, with co-hosts Daniel Kerbein and Ricardo Quiroga, here on KBBF FM 89.1, Calistoga, Santa Rosa, the East Bay, and the North Bay. Thank you for joining us here on Shift Shapers, Pole Reversal Radio. I am on the phone here to Paraguay, and I'm speaking with Mr. Marco Castillo Florencio, who is in Asunción, Paraguay. He is a sociologist who specializes in land use and also has done a great deal of research not only in that subject, but also in reproductive rights. Our focus right now is the news going on out of Paraguay, which is what most people really understand is a coup d'etat, which took place there last week, in which the president was just removed by a vote of the Senate and replaced by the vice president. It looks like a scene that's straight out of Julius Caesar, where it's like et tu Brute, you know, the second in command goes ahead and tosses out the numero uno. But there are a lot of forces behind this that have been working at it. Is that true, Senor Castillo Florencio?
Yeah, hi. You will excuse my limited English. Yeah, it was a rather complex situation here that we lived last week, where a conservative majority of parliament decided to impose an impeachment process against the president of the republic, Fernando Lugo. The impeachment process is a legal figure within our constitution, so it's perfectly legal to make an impeachment. That means to take the president out of office through an impeachment process that basically is a process where you have an accusation and where the president has to defend himself in front of the parliament. And then the parliament takes a vote and decides whether the president should stay or not in office. This is common in presidential systems. I believe you also have that in the USA. The thing was that the motifs behind the impeachment were not legitimate. And due to a crisis situation, that we lived 1 week earlier, the conservative majority of parliament decided to impose the impeachment process based on different fact that they considered it was not necessary to bring proof to impose the impeachment process. So they did an impeachment and gave the president no time for defense, for preparing his defense, nor to defend himself. He had just 2 hours of time to defend himself in front of the Senate during the impeachment, but he had just 6 daylight hours to prepare the defense.
And so this was done very quickly, and it was a very swiftly operated maneuver to cause this coup, and as though people perceive it as something that's been in the planning for a while. Yeah. And now...
Because from the time Fernando Lugo took office, the Congress discussed the possibility of impeachment from the second month of his mandate until now.
Wow.
In 24 different times. In their accusation, the attorneys didn't bring any proof. In the document of accusation, you can read that they state proofs are not necessary because of the public knowledge of the event. And this plus the fact that they didn't give him time to prepare his defense in order to defend himself with enough time or sufficiently makes this process illegitimate but also illegal, because in 24 hours they proved the impeachment and then they declared him guilty as charged and they took him out of power. The thing is, if they are able to proceed in such a fast way with implicit interests behind,
yes,
using legal figures in an illegitimate way with a president, what can we expect as ordinary citizens to happen with us when we are seeking for justice, but not only for ordinary citizens? What would happen with the security within the judicial system, for example, foreign investment or investments of people from the country? The right for a legal defense or a sufficient defense is a basic human right. If we don't respect basic human rights during processes, we are talking about a de facto government that is now in power. That is why everybody, and we also are calling, but not only in Paris, but also international communities, calling this an illegal process, an illegitimate process, and we are, in front of us, we have a de facto government that will not respect basic human rights and do not respect legal procedures.
Right.
And that brings us to what we call a parliamentary dictatorship and call the process a coup d'etat.
Let's take a look at some of the background to this. I'm speaking right now to Marcos Castillo Florencio, who is a sociologist with a specialty in land use research. Now, you have actually had a lot to say about this. Paraguay is mostly an agricultural country, is that correct?
Exactly. Basically, that's the bottom line. Land distribution. In what way? Paraguay is an agricultural economy. We are dedicated mainly to meat and to crops, different crops. 70% of the land destinated to agriculture is in turn destinated to soybean production.
Right.
So soybean production is the main issue here. And we are, I believe, the fourth or the fifth global exporter of soybeans, and we are a really small country.
That's amazing.
And that's not in relative terms, that's in total terms. South America is the largest soybean producer in the world. And why do we export and produce that great amount of soy? Because there's a great demand for soybeans in the international food consumption chain. Not soybeans that are destined mainly to human food. Rather, it's
cattle?
Food for animals for the production of meat in the USA, in Europe, and in China. So this is like our role in the planet. We are cultivating soybeans.
Wow.
How does this translate in Paraguay? You have huge landowners that are the soybean producers. And these producers, this agribusiness sector, have a really, really intense dispute with another sector, important social sector in Paraguay that is the majority, and that's the farmers. The farmers,
mm-hmm.
And they are organized in different organizations, landless farmers organizations, campesinos, as we call them in Spanish.
Yes.
Why are there conflicts between these two groups? Because they are disputing land.
Right.
Why do they dispute land? Because during the 60 years rule of the Colorado Party, that was a party in power during 60 years, most of those years during a military regime, the institution that was in charge of land distribution, that was supposed to make things more equalitarian between Paraguayans, they were in charge of agrarian reform and land distributive agrarian reform. During that military regime, the government did not always give out land peasants as they were supposed to do. What they did instead was they gave out land to political allies and the military elite and political elite. So the campesinos movement indicates that those lands, as they call them, as ill-gotten land. And they dispute now during democracy, they disputed the ill-gotten lands because their soybeans, for example, is rather intensive crop. So you have to have a huge amount of land in order to make it profitable.
Right.
These lands are so-called ill-gotten lands. So what campesinos movement do, they said, we have the law on our side, and this land was supposed to be for us, for the landless farmers. Now instead, there's a huge landowner and now soybean producer that holds this land. So we are disputing this in front of the justice. And the judicial system is rather corrupt. And what they do is they accept, in many cases, the false titles of the lands that the landowners hold because they have a lot of power.
Were the judges appointed by the dictator?
They are appointed in a corrupt system that is really held by itself. But within the judicial system, it's like common knowledge that judges, they sell them out, they disallow the sentences. So they do accept the powerful landowners' influence over the trials. So they do not take into account what the campesinos impose in the judicial processes over land because they are not powerful. And instead, they do accept landowners' titles as valid because, well, landowners do not only have land. They are basically the most powerful sector of society.
This is amazing. Excuse me for interrupting, but this is very amazing because there are parallels to this in other countries. There's that whole dispute over land being taken away from the commons or being taken away from the people who need it for their own farms to feed their families. And it gets taken for generating wealth.
The thing is, just to give you a figure, 3% of the owners of land here in Paraguay concentrate 85% of land. So there you have the most important land concentration in the region, I would believe also in the world.
And that means the land is the wealth. In a country like Paraguay, the land is the wealth.
Exactly, because it is the main source of income for the country.
Yeah.
So 3% of the owners own 85% of land. So there you have like a structural problem that expresses itself in social conflict. What happened, how is this linked to the current crisis? Because 1 week before the impeachment process, there was a group of campesinos, they squatted land. Their strategy in the struggle for land is to occupy land that they point out as ill-gotten. They were on an ill-gotten land bit of 2,000 hectares that they disputed with a person from the Colorado Party, who was president for the Colorado Party, not of the country, but of the Colorado Party during a long period of time.
Very well connected.
And judges were there with attorneys, then they wanted to kick the campesinos away from there. And the tensions grew, and people had the weapon, and something during this eviction sparked, and the thing was it resulted in a shooting where 6 policemen died, and 13 campesinos were killed.
There's even some conjecture that snipers were involved in this.
Everybody's talking about that. We don't have the correct information of what happened there.
So you have this very shady incident, and then all of a sudden there's a coup.
Exactly, and the next week, Parliament decides to impose the impeachment. Due to the low popularity that Parliament had during the week before, there were huge demonstrations against Parliament due to different law projects they tried to impose, where they just wanted to give the political parties more power and more budgetary money. And people reacted to this, and they had really reached a very low popularity in Parliament. So now after this conflict, everybody was saying, no, this is Fernando Lugo's fault because he is close to the campesinos movement. And he was promoting violence. Mm-hmm. And really, in fact, Fernando Lugo was always trying to avoid conflictive situations because it was written that a political an impeachment process was a big risk for him. So the one guy interested in not having violence or violent conflict was Fernando Lugo, because they always saw, 23 times or 24 times they did discuss impeachment for any cause during the last 4 years. So he knew violence would not benefit him.
I'm talking to Marco Castillo Florencio, who is a sociologist, a land use researcher in Paraguay, in Asunción. And I want to go into an explore here. When did Monsanto and Cargill and the transgenic seed manufacturers start getting involved in the land use and in the soybean production in Paraguay? Is this got a long history?
Monsanto fit in here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's rather easy, because if you have 70% of land, agricultural land, dedicated to soybean production, we're talking about GMO crops, genetically modified crops. This was a big tension, because the rural government had people within the government deciding not to accept new GMO crops in the land.
Mm-hmm.
And the GMO crops that were they were trying to legally put into the country were crops from the Monsanto. I'm not really sure about which seed specifically it was, but I know it was soybean.
Yes.
And the soybean producers, they are articulated, and it's a sector, the agribusiness sector is a sector that organizes itself in a federation of production organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And this federation, they talk with the government, they discuss different agendas of the agribusiness sector. Within their agenda, they discuss the incorporation or not of GMO crops. The government, the Lugo government, was reluctant to accept new crops.
So what you're saying is that President Lugo was really not only reluctant to have additional genetically modified soy crops in Paraguay, but he was saying, hey, let's not have any more. What were his concerns about that kind of agriculture?
Well, he was in contact. He was from the countryside. He was from the San Pedro department, that's the regional, the San Pedro region. He was bishop there before taking power as president. And he knew about the campesinos' movements and their demands. And he was seeing that along with soybean production came a radical transformation of the countryside and all the life in the countryside. Why is this? Because the campesinos were, in most cases, expelled from their lands due to the advance of the soy production. What happened? The soybean production is an expensive model of production. They need huge areas of land.
Yeah.
So powerful landowners, they constantly try to buy up campesinos' land, or sometimes also in conflictive situations, they just sprayed over campesinos' communities with fertilizers
chemical agents like herbicides and things like that?
Herbicides and stuff like that, exactly. And this caused traumatic situations for the campesinos in their homes, because can you imagine, people died also in some cases due to intoxication. This was a constant thing in the border between the campesino land and the soybean plantation. And the campesinos are always discussing about not accepting genetically modified crops, and it was a dispute.
There's another part, too, excuse me for interrupting, and I'm talking again to Marco Castillo Florencio in Asunción, Paraguay. Isn't there another piece of the genetic modified, the economics of it is that you can't save seed and reuse it, which is a tradition in agriculture, but you can't do that with genetically modified seeds. So you're stuck with having to always, every year, buy new seed from the company. Was that a piece of it, too?
Yeah, exactly, because, well, that's one of the main things also. These genetically modified crops are intellectual property of the corporation that makes these seeds. So you cannot have the second crop or the successive crops, because you have to pay them the rights for using their crop. So, well, that's also a discussion here in Paraguay.
Yeah.
Not only that you cannot save the crop for next year, but also it can contaminate other crops that surround the plantation and can mix itself with ordinary crops that are not genetically modified.
Right.
It's a big risk for the campesinos that depend on saving seeds from the previous crop to the next, etc., etc.
So there's...
Yeah, this was like a strategic interest and in conflict between landowners and soybean producers,
right,
with the campesinos movement.
There, excuse me for interrupting, there are about 3 million hectares of land planted in GMO soybeans, transgenic soybean. Is that correct? Or did I get a correct figure on that?
Yeah, I believe that the figure is around that number, yes. I'm not really sure exactly, but yes, around that number, that's correct, yes.
So they've been busy for years putting these crops in.
Yeah, they have been doing that for a long time. And let's remember that Fernando Lugo was the first president, the first non-Colorado president, after like 60 years.
Right.
Because after the military regime, they kept power with democratic elections also, until Fernando Lugo came into power. So he made some reforms, and the conservative sector did not accept this. And that was why they were discussing about impeachment as a possibility during 23 different or 24 different times during his whole government. And now they had the perfect excuse. When there was a conflict, when the massacre took place that I was telling you about.
Yes.
And this was the perfect excuse to take him out of power. And they did this in such an arbitrary way, with such brutality, and with a so-called legal impeachment process. The impeachment, per se, is a legal process, but if you're going to use that process, you have to respect basic human rights principles.
Do you think that
those principles are above the law? I mean, everybody has to accept and make all the processes with principles, taking them into account.
Well, Marco, do you see this seizing and taking away of political process and human rights? Could this lead to policies that are like what the dictatorship was doing? Could it lead to that? Could it turn into something where Paraguay becomes under dictatorial policies once again?
Yeah, I believe so. You know, as a matter of fact, people right now are losing their jobs within the government. I mean, workers that were in front of different social programs, now they have new bosses.
Oh.
And there's a big risk that a great deal of our people employed in the state, within the state, will lose their jobs because they were in charge of different social programs that, for the first time in Paraguayan history, the government invested in social care. And, for example, we also had a huge health reform during the Fernando Lugo government where dental health access was declared free.
Huh.
So this is a huge, huge change in public policies. And this is also in the bottom line of the conflict of interest between conservative groups and the more progressive Fernando Lugo government. What I wanted to point out also was how is, as we were talking about, Monsanto involved in all this process? Because the different, as I call, agribusiness organizations and their federation, within their federation, there are organizations that organize soybean producers, soybean exporters, fertilizer importers, and stuff like that.
Right.
And also, those who sell imports and sell seed and herbicides are also organized. And one of the main corporations that sells seeds for soybean plantation in Paraguay is Monsanto, Monsanto in Paraguay. And there is an organization that is called TAFIF here that is part of the Federation of Agribusiness. And in this TAFIF organization, you have corporations like Monsanto, Syngenta, Dow Agro, Bayer, and Bass involved. And they discuss not only policies, they also discussed the impeachment process. Another organization that is also part of the Federation of Agribusiness is CAPECO. Within CAPECO, you have corporations as Bunge, LDC, Overtril, Quemagro, Cargill, Agrorama, and ABM that are parts of the CAPECO organization, and CAPECO, in turn, is one of different organizations within the Federation of Agribusiness. The Federation of Agribusiness is called in Spanish UGP, that's
UGP.
Unión de Gremios de la Producción. And this organization, the UGP, was the first organization after the massacre to discuss publicly, we have to have a legal process against the president. We want impeachment process now. Just 2 or 3 days after the UGP discussed or proposed the impeachment as a possibility.
Yes.
Two or three days after they proposed that, that the Colorado Party discussed it within their party.
Right.
And one or 2 days after that, it was when the Liberal Party, the second majority, conservative, also joined the idea of impeachment. After that, it was possible for them to make the impeachment. They had the necessary votes. But the first organization that discussed this was the UGP, and this is not conspirational theorist things. You can see this in their own webpage. It's www.ugp.org.py. There you can see all of these enterprises or corporations that are part of this union.
Wow.
So there you have the direct link, and the direct link is one of commercial interest. They wanted to bring the new GMO crops in the land. Fernando Lugo government was reluctant, and this also sparked their impeachment process against Fernando Lugo, and it turned out to be an illegal and illegitimate process.
And I'm talking to Marco Castillo Florencio, and I'd like one final question here is, because what you're describing looks to me and to many of our listeners as this is one of the things that happens when you have giant corporations taking global reach and taking over influence on other countries. And when we look at things like Mercosur, which is more of a regional economy, an effort to regionalize and really bring some local power to the economy, how do you see that being affected by these events with the coup with Paraguay? How does Paraguay's membership in this regionalized economic group going to be affected by this?
Well, we are, as you know, Mercosur, this regional organization, economic and social organization, it's a bloc. And, well, Paraguay was a part of Mercosur until now. They had a gathering during last week, and they decided to suspend Paraguay.
Oh, okay.
They have, within the Mercosur, there are the different treaties. One of the treaties says that if a democratic process is interrupted in any of the countries within Mercosur, this country will not only get suspended, but also risks to be expelled. So we just got suspended from the Mercosur, and after that, we also are a part of UNASUR, that's a bigger bloc, South American bloc of countries, and we were also expelled from the UNASUR. And right now, the Organization of American States and their Secretary General is arriving to Asunción, and they are expecting to analyze the situation in situ, and we will see what will happen within the OAS. The thing is, yeah, we are suspended, but the progressive governments of Argentina, Uruguay, and Brazil, also Bolivia, they were discussing, if we do blockade Paraguay, only the poorest people will be affected. Wealthy people will not resent, nor the political elite will not resent economic measures of blockade. So they decided not to blockade the country. That was a rather democratic stance, I believe, and it was really important. But yes, we are suspended from the Mercosur as a country. We are also suspended by the UNASUR because all of those countries understand that the democratic process has been interrupted and a minority in power is using any means in hand that they can reach to enforce their will. And this is not accepted in the international community. Nor is it accepted among citizens in Paraguay, and a civil resistance movement is organizing itself right now. Fernando Lugo called for a pacific resistance, and right now everybody is demonstrating peacefully in Asunción, the capital, and in different parts of the country. During these days, we have borders with Brazil and Argentina, and two different cities, one that connects us with Brazil, has a huge, huge bridge over a river that separates both countries. Well, on the Paraguayan side of the bridge, there has been blockades of the bridge, and in solidarity, people from Brazil did also blockade the bridge, and people was encountering themselves in the middle of the bridge, blockading it. That happened also with another bridge that connects to different cities of one of Paraguay with an Argentinian city over the same river, where they also did peacefully blockade within the civil resistance movement. But the de facto government is in power. They are changing a lot of things in institutions, in state institutions, and we see it as a big risk because right now, for example, the body that is in charge of regulating feeds, that was the institution that had to accept or not to approve the new GMO crops. The head of that institution within the de facto government is one of the UGP representatives. So we have a great risk of accepting now GMO crops that the former government, the legal government, was not accepting.
Thank you very much. And Marco Castillo Florencio in Asunción, Paraguay, thank you very much for joining us here on Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio and really answering some of these questions from the country where it's all happening. I want to thank you for your time. And we're going to also have this interview en español con Ricardo Quiroga in the second hour. So thank you very much for joining us in English.
Thank you very much for taking care, for being interested in listening what's happening here. I strongly believe that if democracy is affected wherever in the world, every citizen is affected also, because we are the majority, but we don't have the power of corporations or political elite. So what we have to do is solidarity, observe different processes, and try to get involved in shaping opinion and safeguarding democracy and democratic rights.
Right. And, you know, these are global corporations. They're operating and doing their little nefarious deeds here in the United States as well. So the more we know about their ways.
We also know about Vitality trying to legalize itself.
Thank you again very much. And we will definitely be watching this situation in Paraguay.